Right. Amen.
Well, hallelujah. Well, I would say it's looking a lot more like Christmas out there, but looking a little more like March right now. Praise God. Well, I tell you what, folks, we're living in some exciting times if you're not paying attention. I mean, Angela and I were just talking about this coming down the road the other day, about all the things that we're seeing that Revelation and prophecy has spoken of. It's happening. Well, it's not happening like the movie. Feel free to read the book. The real book. The one that's not fiction. Because I'm here to tell you, we think we got it figured out, and we don't. We think we got God figured out, and we don't. You know, I was just standing back here a little bit ago, and I was just looking, and we got a lot of little kids. That one there is one of mine. But I was just thinking, you know what? They're reaching around, they're doing stuff, and when my grandkids come to my house, I light up for that. Now, mind you, they don't want anything to do with me because they want to run and they want to play. They come give me a hug, except Harper right now. She seems to like Joe more than she does her own grandpa, but I don't know, Joe, Faye. You guys seem to have these little girls that keep coming to you. I don't know. Maybe there's a granddaughter coming. I don't know. That's what they're believing. So, but you know, we're in such an awesome time to be trusting God for each and everything that we've got. And we need to trust Him. And worrying, we've talked about worrying. It's not going to change one bit of it, is it? Just gives you a little bit of stomach problems and nervous tics and, you know what I'm saying? Well, praise God. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank You and I praise You, Lord God, for this day. I thank You, Lord, that You're the God of mercy. You're the God of hope. And Lord, and in You, we put all of our trust. Now, Father, we present to You today our tithe and our offering. Lord God, I pray that You bless it according to Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. And you may be seated at this moment. And kids are dismissed. Praise the Lord. We are privileged to live in a great country such as this. We're privileged to have the rights that we have, to be able to come to church, to gather publicly. You know, when you stop and think about the first church, they didn't have rights. They were actually hunted. And then they were put in an arena for sport. Nero burned Rome, blamed it on the Christians. Folks, we're the only thing keeping the Antichrist from running this world in the ground right now. So if you're just looking and you listen, I'm going to tell you right now, there's not going to be justice. I'm sorry. I'd love to say there's going to be. The Antichrist is rising. You're not going to see true justice like it should be until the day we stand before God and we watch the Antichrist and we watch the devil and all of his cohorts. And then we're going to see justice come. The Bible tells us we need to be praying. Don't be worrying about what didn't happen in the Supreme Court this week. Pray. That's all I'm telling you. You've got to pray. I wish I could get up here and preach you, oh, everything's just going to be peaches and cream and roses and butterflies. And, well, you know, butterflies start out worms, right? And peaches start out these knobby little things that you throw on the ground, and it grows into a tree. And cream, y'all really want to know where, we got a couple dairy farmers in here. They can tell you where the cream comes from and what you have to go through to get it. Kicked in the head, pooped on regularly. But the more I see happening, the more I'm thoroughly convinced God wants us holding on to the basics. As we watch, you know, for the sports we're able to get to watch, the one thing that Angela and I keep noticing is that when somebody appears to be losing, they keep losing their discipline. They keep forgetting the basics. I talked about that last week. About because of what we're preaching, we're learning. Well, Pastor, I want to know how to cast out demons. Tell it to come out in Jesus' name. You don't need oak leaves. You don't need maple tea leaves. You don't need anything else. It's faith. Pure and simple. I want to know how to lay hands on the sick. Huh? You walk over to them. I got to find somewhere I can stay in range. Walk over here and you say, be healed in Jesus' name. Boom. I just taught you how to lay hands on the sick. You don't need a 10-day course. It's faith. By the way, you don't even need to be touching that person. That goes against everything I've ever been taught. I want to teach you about real faith. Remember the centurion? He said, Master, my servant is ill. Think about this for a minute. He's a Roman. He doesn't give a flying furry rat's bottom about a Jew, his servant, he meant a slave, is sick. He cared about this person. And Jesus said, I'll come to your house. He said, no, you don't need to. Just say the word. And Jesus looked and he marveled and he said, I've never found such faith in all of Israel. We're talking the scribes, the Pharisees, the high priests. We're talking anybody. This one dog, this pig, had more faith than anybody in Israel because he understood God. All you have to do is speak. Jesus didn't say, go get your cat D10 dozer and your dynamite and move that mountain. He said, if you speak to the mountain, it will move. And we've got to get back to the basics. We got to hold the basics or what hold us. I can't get that to you enough. We can have all the fancy light show. We can do fancy light shows and smoke and lasers. There's churches that do this. I mean, it's a real concert. And it can be kind of fun. But you know what happens when you've been exposed to it so long? I don't even care to go to concerts. I've been to so many. I just don't enjoy them anymore. But I tell you what, the true presence of God is when believers come together and we stir up love with each other. We look across the aisle, we know, hey, so-and-so has been going through a rough time right now, but they're here. You know, there's a lot of people right now that in this congregation who have something going on in their life that's not exactly thrilling. But on that note, I will share with you. I spoke with Richard Garner the other day. And I said, hey, brother, I knew he had an appointment on the 8th. I said, just checking in on you, see how you're doing, how your appointment went. He said, I meant to call you. He says, I'm in a truck in Fredericktown right now. He's back to work. So, praise God. They told him, the doctor said, as a matter of fact, he said, now, y'all know we've been praying for Richard. He said, your surgery and recovery were so remarkable. Do you mind if we take pictures to send it back to the manufacturer of the brace, the parts in his neck? Do you mind if we do that? He said, it's just amazing. And I'm like, yeah, I know somebody may have had a little bit more to do that than Procter & Gamble or whoever made it. See, that's what church is about. is when you're down. People got your back. That's what it's all about. So let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 7. I got one pocket in this jacket, and it goes from here to here, and my glasses were in there. Matthew chapter 7. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure of it, and the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Is that not a tongue twister? Judge not lest you be judged, for with the measure you judge is what you will be judged. I don't think Jesus was mincing words here. But here's something that I find amazing. He said, for with what judgment? What do you mean with what judgment? That means there's a kind, a type. If I haven't totally forgotten everything I learned in 5 years of English class. For what judgment you use, you will be judged. See, this isn't going to show up here, but let me read this to you out of James chapter 2, verse 13. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. See, right now at the moment, we're screaming for justice. Absolutely. But you need to understand that when justice comes, there is judgment. And with judgment, there is a finality. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. See, we still have this comprehension that hell is just a temporary thing, that you're just going to go there and you're going to be basically washed in a cauldron that the devil's going to use his pitchfork and keep cleaning you like laundry. And then one of these days you're going to get let go. Hell is totally void of God's presence, of God's love. Imagine the most frightening thing. I don't care what movie you've seen, the most frightening movie you've ever seen is nothing to the fear that will fill the cavities of hell. There's no attraction you can go to that can, you know, those things, you know, the ghost, the haunted prison and all this stuff. They send, woo, get things going up and down your spine because you psych yourself out. You're already psyched up. You've heard the stories. You know, I worked up at the old YMCA in Mansfield for a while after it sold, and there were stories going around there of guys who committed suicide, and they'd hear things, and they'd see things. We even had one electrician who was a Christian who came flying out of I think it was four levels, the second level, which hardly had any windows in it, and it was always dark. Something was in the hallway with him, and he was the only one on the floor. And he came flying out of there. He said, I will not go back. I don't know. That's when I started getting my feet underneath me about this kind of stuff. See, I firmly believe that where light and darkness cannot share the same space. Well, it's a haunted house. Well, you know what? There may be a demonic force there. It is not the ghost of anybody. It is called a familiar spirit. And it is here to torment. I'd go down there. I'm like, I don't see anything. I don't hear anything. I don't feel anything. But if I let myself think about what, ooh, next thing you know, I'm running up the steps, right? There are real things. There's also times we let ourselves go. We have got to remember to pray for these people. That's where I was getting back to. To pray for the people. It looks like they're getting away with murder. Literally. They aren't getting away with anything. The people that have used you and abused you, they're not getting away with anything. God will have the last say in it. So when you are looking at these people, We're screaming for Pelosi's head. We're screaming for the justice to come down on the Clintons or whatever. How about we pray for God's mercy in their lives? Sometimes we don't know why people do what they do. We don't know what happens. What happens to change somebody? What happened to Adolf Hitler? Did you know one of his best friends was a Jew growing up? What happened? You know, I'm reminded of this young lady that I knew years ago. She never acted quite. She was always a bit silly, maybe a little vulgar. Never presented herself as special. I mean, she honestly, with sometimes her makeup looked more like a clown. She would plaster her makeup on so thick. And she'd get made fun of. And then years later, I learned she's being raped by her dad. Got a few thoughts on that. I won't share them. They'll scare you. But I'm here to tell you, that girl acted out. See, everybody that judged her, that called her names, called her a slut, a tramp, didn't know the truth. She was acting out. And people will act out. She was trying to make herself pretty because she felt ugly. See, we have to start putting mercy with judgment. Because you know what? I need that mercy. I need God's mercy in my life. And how much mercy I use is how much God's going to give me back. So if I'm just using thimbles of mercy, oh, I'll just put a little bit of mercy in here. No. Here. We'll start here. And then we'll go by the buckets. Because you see, if we're going to be like our God, like our Heavenly Father, He is mercy. And people that teach anything otherwise do not know God. Because God is love, and love is merciful. David, as I was flipping through there this morning, and just in the back of my Bible there, in the concordance, looking in mercy, can anybody guess what one book carries the most in the back of my concordance? What is it? Psalms. The book of Psalms. A man who was a murderer, an adulterer. There's probably a few other things we could throw on his list. But he understood God's mercy, and God still said, he's a man after my own heart. See, we have got to make sure that when we're using judgment, that it's full of mercy. Now, let's carry on. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do you not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite. Remember, he just called him an actor. You pretender. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. Let's go back up into here. He said, man, see, we all want to help other people, don't we? I mean, we want to do that. Well, the Bible tells me, not really. Bible says clean up your life. Deal with your problems before you go try to help somebody else out. Especially if you have no mercy. Because, trust me, it takes lots and lots of mercy. See, when we get this tiny little speck in our eye, depending on where it's at, it's either an irritant, and so we're totally focused on it, or else it's, you know, it kind of really messes up. But when you totally have your eye covered, eventually you'll compensate, right? If you've ever had to have had an injured eye and you've had it covered, eventually you'll be able to get around okay. You may not be able to shoot a gun, right, or a few other things. But you'll be able to drive. Depth perception is going to be off, but your mind will adjust. We have phenomenal bodies. They will adjust. They will adjust to the darkness. People get so afraid of the dark. If there's any light to be had, your eye will find it. I have this at night sometimes. She really likes to sleep with the blinds or the curtains open. When the window's 6 foot wide, 7 feet tall, I would just as soon not. But it is beautiful, especially for snow or the leaves. But there is this light. I don't care how dark it is. This house is on another road and in the woods, but there's security light. I can see from my bed. And I lay there and I stare at that stupid light. You will find the light. You just have to. When I first go to bed, we turn off lights. I can't see anything outside. But last night I didn't sleep well. So I had lots of time staring out the window. And I'm laying there. And I kept looking at that light. And it would seem like it would get brighter outside. I'm like, Lord, is there a UFO coming down or something? I mean, I don't hear anything, but boy, it seems to be brighter. My eyes were now adjusting. God has made your bodies phenomenally. But we, folks, have got to remember that our eyes perceive our world around us, don't they? What happens when you lose your eyes? Then you're basing it on all the other senses. Smell, hearing, touch. You start relying more and more on those. You have to now make judgment call by what you know versus what you see. Sometimes what you see is not what is the truth. Just like that girl. What I could see was not the truth. And when I learned the truth, like I said, I have a special spot in my heart. And I do pray for mercy. But I have to honestly admit to you, mercy is not the first thing I thought of. It really isn't. Now, take care of what is your problem. Jesus even taught us a little bit ago. In this message, he said, you know, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Deal with your problems. He said, the Bible says, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. We need to know ourselves and seek self-improvement. That was the leadership trait, leadership trait. We had 14 leadership traits. In the Marine Corps, and that one was the one I memorized for every board I ever went on. To know yourself and seek self-improvement. Why I chose the longest one, I don't know. But I did. And it's a principle, I'm sorry, not a trait. It's the truth, though. If we will judge ourselves rightly, when I say rightly, I mean just as harsh as you're saying, well, I just speak the truth the way it is. But make sure you're looking in the mirror when you're saying that. And start in the mirror. You start with the person looking back. You deal with their problems. And when you see clearly, so see, a lot of people don't want to get rid of their problems. They like their problems. They hold on to their problems. Now, this next verse, this verse 6, kind of an interesting verse. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. I just told you, there are people that don't want to get rid of their problems. They want to keep them. I'm reminded of the Count of Monte Cristo when Mercedes told him to let go of his hate. He said, I can't. It's who I am. It's paraphrased. It is now me. She said, you've got to let go. He identified more with the hate than he did with the love for her. There are people that you can keep trying and keep trying and keep trying. And they will just take what you said and they will turn it back on you and eat you alive with it. See, first off, we have to be wise as serpents. There's a lot of people thinking, well, I just got to go out and I got to speak the truth. I got to do this. How about using your brain? God gave you a brain. Is there anybody in here who does not have a brain? Glad to see no hands went up. Because we have some questions then. You have got to use wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. It doesn't come from reading philosophy. Most philosophers didn't know their head from a hole in the ground. Jesus is warning us. If we're going to be preaching the truth, and we're going to be helping people and telling them to make sure that we're judging rightly, we're judging with mercy, first off, and judging and seeing this person wants help, or this person loves their sin, or loves whatever they're trapped in. It may not even be sin, but they love it. And they will, by all means, pull you in with them. You ever tried to help somebody who's stuck in the mud? I'm going to tell you right now, if you aren't on firm standing, you're going in with them. You know, a couple weeks ago, I drove by my son's house, and he's kind of sitting in his yard. His truck's a little sitting on a hill and looking a little funny, and there's mud all over it, and he's not looking none too thrilled. And I turned around, went back to him, and said, hey, do you need help? He said, yeah, I do. Well, it had been raining, and everything just went south. He got off into a spot where he couldn't get traction and just kept burying, and he buried his truck. And then I tried to pull him out with my truck. And I still got mud on my door panels because I had the window down. It was fun, I'm not going to lie. But I couldn't get traction. Four-wheel drive, and I couldn't get traction. It didn't matter. Didn't matter what I had, without traction, without a firm footing, you're going to fall. It was not until we done some digging on his truck and we positioned my truck to more solid, to drier ground. And then we both gave it all, what for? My truck is screaming, his truck is just a roll in the black smoke. we got out. But we had to deal with one problem and my problem. We had to deal with both problems. I can't help you, and you can't help anybody else if we don't start dealing with our problems and rightly judging ourselves. And in being careful that when we realize somebody doesn't want my help, just stop. Everybody, I will shake the dust off. They're cursed and all. Oh, shut up! Shaking the dust off, man, you just ain't taking the problem with you. Let God help them through somebody else. Maybe they don't like you. Did you ever think of that? I mean, I know the day I got that revelation, maybe there's people that don't like me. They're out there. I just hope they're not in here. Amen. Jeez. Tough crowd. All right. Verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. We'll stop right there. What were we just talking about? Basically, in a nutshell, weren't we talking about being righteous? God's kind of righteous? What should we be seeking? Oh, I need a Mercedes. I need a Harley. I need the Lamborghini SUV. Is that righteousness? Is that going to get you to heaven? No, it's not. Well, it says to keep ask. Yeah, remember, let's keep it in subject. If your Bible is like mine, you have this little thing, this little divider, where 300 AD from that point on, somewhere along the line up until Gutenberg did his first Bible, they started splitting the Bible up. This is all one sermon. He's talking about being righteous, finding God's judgment, finding God's mercy. He said, keep seeking, keep knocking. Don't keep coming up and saying, Lord, I need that Mercedes. You and Janis Joplin can drive your Mercedes. But it's not going to take you to heaven. Righteousness, accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and the Lord, that is what gets you to heaven. Righteousness helps us to live a godly life, to be like Christ here. God doesn't need us being kind to Him. He needs us being kind to each other. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Is there anybody in here that cold-hearted? If your child who is hungry, seeking something, comes to you and says, Dad, can I have a cookie or a cracker or a piece of bread? And you're like, oh, yeah, here, find this flat rock. Here, this is a cookie. And I'm talking about seriously, he's hungry. Not he just got up from dinner eating and said, can I have a cookie? I don't know what it is with kids, but that is just there. Seriously, the dinner dishes are still on the table. Your plate still has half the food on it. And you're wanting a cookie? Don't know. It's an amazing thing. 50 seconds ago, they were full. Now, they got room for a cookie. I ain't gonna lie, everybody's always got room for a cookie though, don't we? Especially if they're chocolate chip or peanut blossoms. Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? If you're asking him for mercy, to judge yourself, to be righteous. Is he going to give you deceit? Is he going to give you arrogance? Is he going to fill you with hatred? Then why are those the things that the church seems to be embracing? We want to look like the world. And I'm not talking about the way we dress. Unless you're dressing like a streetwalker. Different subject. But we're talking about how we react, how we act towards things. There's a time to speak up. And there's a time not to. All of you, the generation before me, should know exactly what's going through my head right now. Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season. Turn. Every season. There's a time to stand up. And there's a time to take a step back and watch. Because there's been many times I've had to take a step back and watch. And just watch things unfold. Just to find out the players who I thought they were weren't who I thought they were. And that my involvement could have been disastrous for me. Not for them, but for me. Katie is right. She was talking about singing earlier and her voice was drying out. It is pretty dry. I have to marvel. I can speak pretty fine all morning. Come to church within 10 minutes, I can't speak. I'm sitting there. But then when it comes time to preach, the anointing hits and the frog goes away. Can you imagine that? Yeah, let me get back to where I was at. So God knows to give you good things. He's going to give you the righteousness you're seeking. He's going to give you the patience. He's going to show you His mercy. And He does expect you to extend that mercy. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, this is, do unto others as you would have done unto you. Does that sound familiar? It is not, do unto others before they do unto you. Do unto others as they've done unto you. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. You know why? Here's something hilarious. This is the law and the prophets. It fulfills it. You fulfill the law and the prophets. By treating people like that. Did I put through verse 14 on there, Carsey? Okay. I was just making sure. I changed it. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and the difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. In other words, folks, everybody wants to go where it's easy, right? You know, one thing a lot of people don't know about deer is deer really are kind of lazy animals unless they're being pursued. Then they're miracle workers. But a deer would rather walk across an open plain. See, we have it in our head that deer are woodland creatures when they're actually prairie. They prefer the plains. They prefer being out like the antelope. White-tailed deer like that. But they have security in the edges of the trees. So they will stick close to them, but they prefer the easy path. If a tree falls, and it's not too difficult to go over it, they would just as soon walk all the way around that tree as opposed to trying to find a way through it. They will find a new path. The paths in the woods change every year, depending on whether the trees fall. People are no different. Well, it's just so much easier for me to say this and believe this than it is to believe that I got to treat my sister over here how I want to be treated. See, we live in a world that says, you did this to me, I'm going to do this to you. We are not to retaliate. Vengeance is not ours. Y'all seen that meme that said, in 2019 you cough, nobody thinks anything. 2020 you cough and everybody's I was somewhere the other day doing something, and guy shut the door, and the door blew dust into my face, and I breathed it in. And he's standing right behind me. Where I was at, I wasn't required to be wearing a mask. But he came in, and it changed the scenario, so I'm standing there trying to hold my breath. I'm like, he leaves, and the woman behind the window, she's looking at her, and I'm just like, she's like, what? I said, I've been holding that ever since he shut the door. It blew dust, and I inhaled it. I said, yeah, everybody there got a kick out of it. But, folks, we're going to have to start treating people like we want to be treated. Do unto others as you'd have done unto you. Now, why would that be the narrow and more difficult road to go down? Can anybody think of any reasons why it would be harder to treat people like you want to be treated? Well, first off, sinners are going to do what sinners are going to do. They're going to act like their father, the devil. You and I have to act like God. I know this is how I'm going to be treated, but I'm going to treat them like this. And we can't pick and choose who we do. I can't treat Phil any different than I treat Joe. Which might not work out in your favor, Joe. Phil and I, we have a special bond. No. But I'd move heaven and earth for Phil, just so you know. And he'd do the same for me. So guess what that means? I'd do the same thing for you. If it's within my power to do it, I will do it. And then there's those amazing times that just like the little, and if you're one of these people sitting here, why does he keep referencing all this stuff? And it just annoys me, these movies. Well, why don't you get out and watch one? Finding Nemo. When when Crush's little boy, Squirt, goes flying off out of the EAC, the Eastern Australia Current. The turtles are just flying along on it, and this little turtle just goes flying out, and Marlin goes, "We gotta go get him." He's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's see what little Squirt can do." There comes a time we all have to do something on our own. You know, one of these days, you're going to have to teach that little boy how to ride a bicycle. You're going to have to let go of that bicycle. I'm going to tell you right now, that's harder than it looks. Training wheels ain't on it anymore. I don't care what you put on. There's going to be a bump and a bruise and a cut and a scratch from that bicycle going down. And when we're holding on to that bike, we know I got to let go. I got to let him grow. You know what? I thank God my dad let go. It led me to a whole new world. Probably a world I shouldn't have went into. I mean, we built ramps out of anything we thought we could ride on. Jump things we shouldn't have, people. That is not a joke. Why? We thought we could jump our friends. But you know what? You're going to have to do it. And with every child. Although, I'll be honest with you, I only trained one of my children, taught my one child to ride a bike. That was it. Because he taught Jesse. I come home from work one day and, look, there's Jesse riding his bicycle. Well, who taught you how to do that? Who took the training wheels off? Joshua was big enough, he'd watch Dad do it. He took the training wheels off. He taught Jesse how to ride his bike. And I don't know, did you teach or did Joshua teach Justin? Oh, Mom. Oh. The claim is he's still using his training wheel, so all right. That's brotherly love for you right there. But you see, I don't remember my dad teaching my brother. And he was usually the one on the back of my bike because we had banana seats. And if I would have been 8, he'd have been 3. What a 3-year-old was doing on the back of a bike of an 8-year-old in the country. It's a wonder either one of us are alive. I couldn't ride like that. I tried. I always ended up dumping them. But folks, our life isn't supposed to be, oh, it's just all easy. Everything just comes freely. No, it's a life of discipline. We have to choose to stay on that narrow road, that path that isn't wide and it's all paved. Because while I told you that the deer are lazy and they will do that, what I didn't tell you is if you want a really big deer, you got to go to the obscure spots. The place out of the mind where you wouldn't think a deer would be hiding. I have crawled under thickets like this, tracking a deer that I just shot. Get inside this whole big old thing of briars. Where's he at? He kept on moving. And when I went one way, here's Pat over there, over on the other side. He's like, there he goes. I'd walked right by him. How? It's not going to always be easy. Yeah, we did get him. But I'm here to tell you, folks, if you're willing to take the narrow path. My very first year hunting, I was on my hands and knees crawling under a bush, tracking. I was following a deer. I was stalking him, and I look up, and he's from me to Matt right there. I'm on my hands and knees in the snow under a bush, and he's standing there. He's a big old 12-point. He busted me, and I got a shot off, but I tried to stand up. I should have just stayed there and shot. Last I knew, he was in Fredericktown because we lived half a mile from Knox County, and he just kept running. But I tell you that because he was a big deer. Sometimes your biggest trophies are where you have to go where it's not exactly where you thought they would be. Some of you have seen that picture Angela posted of that big moose on Facebook. That is a trophy moose. He's a big boy. He's on a walking path. He takes it easy a little bit, but you know why he's safe right there? There's no hunting. You got to be smart. You got to be willing to do what others won't do. You got to be willing to forgive. You want a life full of peace and contentment? You've got to forgive people. You got to quit judging people. You got to start showing mercy. And when you start showing that mercy, you're going to find God's mercy comes back in your life. How did this happen? Why did this work out? This shouldn't have worked out in my favor. It's called God's mercy. And when we get hold of that, we will fully comprehend what God's love is all about. It's not about us being right. It's about us being righteous. So like I said, we've only got a little bit more to go on this. But Jesus is trying to get his church ready. I believe that, like I said, don't know when, how, or all that stuff. I'm not getting into the debate on it because it just tears people apart. It's futile to argue when the rapture is going to happen. I know the Bible talks about a catching away. I hope it's before too long, honestly, but that's for my sake. But if it means my brother can find Christ, then I'll suck it up. I'll shut up, and I'll keep moving. I'll keep living. I'll keep trusting God, just like I've been doing for the last however many years. And that's what we should all do. Because I really don't want one person to go to hell, to feel the lack of God's love. Again, as much as the terror and the fear that we have in this world right now, imagine it without God's love. There's no hope. No hope at all. You know, as miserable as I thought being overseas for a year and a half was, nobody out in town really spoke my language. They definitely didn't write in it. You know what my hope was? I had a flight date. I had orders. That was my hope. I was going to go back home. Back home, when I walk out and I see a billboard, I know what it says. That when I order something off the menu, I don't have to look at the picture and point. And as amazing as it was, you know, one of the worst airports I've heard to ever, honestly, not to be at, was St. Louis. I've heard some horror. You do not want to be there after normal flights and all that. Well, our MAC flight came in late, like midnight. And there I was, sitting in my dress blues, alone in St. Louis, and tired. And you know what I did? I went to sleep. Because I had a peace in St. Louis that I didn't have in Tokyo. Tokyo, I knew nothing. St. Louis, I could at least see the signs. This is my land. Folks, that's what hope is with God. This is hope. Tokyo, you hope you're on the right plane. You hope you're on the right plane. You're going to... Anybody ever gotten on a bus or something to the wrong city? I did. I was heading to Jacksonville. Turned out to be Florida. I was supposed to be going to Jacksonville, North Carolina. I was UA. Those of you who don't know what that is, that's AWOL. Me and four other Marines. Fortunately, I was lowest rank, so what are you going to do? I ain't got any rank anyhow. Take it. As soon as I came in that night, we were famous. Oh, you're the ones. Yeah, that's us. We're the five moronic Marines who can't read. Well, actually, we could read. They just need to put Florida and North Carolina on those buses. All right. I have digressed, so let's stand. I just feel led to tell you this. It's something that just started popping up. Mm-hmm. Peter said, be vigilant, for your enemy, the devil, roams about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You need to understand something. Lions have a pattern. They have a habit. They're predictable. If you feel like you're being watched, you're being watched. The devil has no new tools in his toolbox. The same thing he's tripped you up with in the past is what he's going to trip you up tomorrow. Unless you rise above it. Okay? I heard this the other day and I was just like, it was like, no kidding. And no, don't, why? I was like, well, I knew all this. Joseph, what was his fault? What was his trip up? clothes, his robe, and then his tunic, Potiphar's wife. His clothes is what the devil used to ensnare him. Something simple, but it just goes to prove the point. Whatever the devil's been coming at you with, if he's been keeping you in a depression, identify it. What's the source? Locate it. Close with it and destroy it. You need to do that for your freedom. You need to identify it because it is the plank in your eye. It's what's keeping you from helping anybody else. You know, for me, there's triggers. Certain songs, they trigger it. I've come to realize when I started hearing that song, and I can even actually feel my blood coursing. And I have to say, God, I'm hearing something. It's fueling. And I'll go change the song. And I begin to pray. We've got to learn to identify this and let it go. We'll talk some more on some of this stuff, but I just really felt somebody needed to hear to be careful. The devil's waiting. He's waiting to pounce on you. He may trip you up, you may get out of the snare, but one of these days I'd hope you're not like Samson and you wake up and it's too late. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful, Lord. Father, we're grateful that for sending your Son, even in this season that we are about to be celebrating. Father, may we remember above all else that it was about your Son. Father, may we control our thoughts, our words. Lord, help us to hold this stuff up to your mercy, to your love, and judge from there. Father, I thank you for your people here. I thank you for those who are at home watching. Lord God, I pray you begin to move in their lives. Father, you begin to open their eyes. Father, if there are specks, if there are planks in their eyes, Father, things that are stopping them, hindering them, Lord, I pray that you begin to move miraculously in them. Now, Father, I bless them. Father, I pray that as they go about this week, Lord God, that there be a new peace, there will be a new step, there will be a new spring in their lives. Father, in Jesus' name, amen.